the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful outside is a state of mind.
It's raining. Every day's beautiful.
That's a way to put it. Right. Yeah. I would say it's a bad hair day if I had any. But anyway.
I'd agree with you on that one. I'd agree with
it's
you.
A hot day.
Hot and wet. Oh. It is, though, the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. Of course, speaking of Our Lady Mary at the foot of the cross and the day she was given to us, the church. And it's appropriate because we have a mixture of tears and laughter. That's just the human nature, isn't it?
Right.
So. So let's call on her and start our day in the mind of this being the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who willed that when your Son was lifted high on the cross, his mother should stand close by and share his suffering, grant that your church, participating with the Virgin Mary in the passion of Christ, may merit a share in his resurrection. Who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.
Pray for us. Johnny, looking forward to your take and your insights on today's gospel, but also an update on your parish, St. Jane de Chantal in Abita Springs. So we'll be actually taking a look at St. Jane and Our Lady of the Lake in Mandeville. So Father Doug Bush joins us to give us an update after Hurricane Ida and see how the North Shore is doing. So I'm looking forward to those two segments. We have Michael Acaldo with St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. There is a great need right now for those in the shelter at St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. So Michael's going to tell us all about that. And Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. He'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue. The Clarion Herald is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he has a lot of things to say about what Archbishop Amon has been up to. And if you are on social media and you follow the Archdiocese, you already know what the Archbishop is up to. He is all over the place. He is in the river parishes, on the West Bank, North and South Shore. He is everywhere covering everything. So Peter is going to give us details about his whereabouts and the state of the Archdiocese. And how we can help our friends in those hard-hit areas like Houma, Thibodaux, and beyond. So looking forward to that talk with Peter, Alicia.
Yeah, and you know, Gabby, that unfortunately there's heavy rain that's coming. I know that there's some folks who were planning to bring supplies to some of those areas hit by Ida who are just postponing that or delaying it a little bit just because of so much heavy rainfall from Tropical Depression Nicholas. The depression is moving toward the east near a whopping 3 miles an hour. Its slow eastward motion is expected to continue today, followed by a stall and very slow movement on Thursday. Flash flood watches are in effect along the central Gulf Coast in portions of southern Louisiana, southern Mississippi, southern Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle, all our listing area. It is currently 73 degrees in Baton Rouge, just a little bit of a drizzle. 74 in New Orleans, 74 in Luling. Our friends in Ponchatoula is 73, and Biloxi is our hot spot and raining at 75 degrees.
Yes, Ida on Facebook says it's pouring hard here in Biloxi. Mm. Yes, so we'll be praying for all those today. Drive safely. And stay tuned. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Blessed memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. Today's gospel is taken from John chapter 19. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In a few words, John makes a simple statement. Standing by the foot of the cross of Jesus were his mother, which served as an introduction to Jesus saying to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." In this poignant scene, we also find the fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and of a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." We gain insight into Mary's suffering in the words spoken to Father Gobi in prayer. "How much blood my eyes have seen today. His hair is soaked with it. His face is bathed in it. His hands and feet are torn, and his whole body is marked with deep wounds. Behold my sorrow. See if there is a greater sorrow than mine. He is unable to walk. He totters. There is not one gesture of pity. Only hatred, hostility, and indifference surround him. Oh, the glance of my son at that moment. In my heart there's opened a womb which has never healed. I am at his side to help him die. I feel the nails which pierce his flesh, the tearing of his body hung in the gibbet, his labored breathing. I hear his voice as it grows weaker, with words of prayer and pardon, and he appears to me to be dying. But I continue to live beneath the cross with a pierced heart and a wounded soul, still miraculously alive because, as a mother, I must help my son to die. No one will ever understand the hidden mystery of this moment. And now, my sorrow bursts forth as a flooding river bursts through all its embankments. My tears bathe his face, my laments cradle his body, and with my hands I close the deep wounds while my immaculate heart becomes his first sepulcher. Mary endured this suffering for us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Thank you, Father Chris Stecker. Thank you, Jimmy Sayers. A beautiful reflection on this memorial that today on Our Lady of Sorrows. You know, a lot of people say, why do you Catholics always focus so much on sorrow and suffering? Things like that, you know. But, you know, we do so, obviously, to be there with Mary because we want to be one with our Lord. And really, it's our human nature, isn't it? This mixture of sorrow and yet joy, because Mary's tears would turn into joy when she saw her son, the risen Lord. And that's just our human nature, where we kind of have both. We're crying and laughing at the same time. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's so much like, and there's so many examples of this, especially right now. And I think that this recovery from this recent hurricane is a great example of this. And so I wanted to kind of pass along a good example of that. And this is at St. Jane de Chantal in Abita Springs, our parish here. It's like a lot of communities, you know, hit pretty bad. But immediately after the storm, in the midst of this sorrow, you know, there were some parishioners, a couple of ladies who felt called to do something to deal with this, to deal with needs that they felt like they saw out there, to take some action. You know, we're just reading about the book of James, you know, that our faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So people such as Loretta Nuckin, Alyssa Fortenberry Pierce, Joni Schaff, they all got together with our pastor, Father Ken Allen, to open up a hall, it's called St. Jane Hall, there to hand out and give out whatever goods they had. And they didn't have much. They just went to the attic and got what they had in terms of toiletries and things like that. Well, pretty soon, this mustard seed just really took off. The Lord, as word kind of got out, they actually teamed up also with St. Vincent de Paul. C.J. Hebert jumped in as well and said, hey, this is going to be a great outlet for us to join in. So it got posted on the bulletin board there in town. It took off on really within the the parishioners at St. Jane and others started bringing many goods, canned goods, toiletries, toilet paper, you name it. And this pantry's opened up, and now it's been open since right after the storm. And every day between 9 and 12, we had on average 20, 30 people driving up. I need this. I need this. Wow. And they just pull up and they unload it. And it's a wonderful story. It really is. Yes. And they're going to keep doing that, in fact, until this Friday. And at that point, Father Alex Guzman, he's in our youth group, is going to take whatever's left in the pantry, and they're going to bring it down to some parishes that are even harder hit than the North Shore. And so I just want to throw it out there. It's a great example of in the midst of pain and sorrow, we could hear the Lord saying to John, you know, this is your mother. In other words, to take in those into your home, even to give to those in the midst of that sorrow, because that's the glory, that contradiction, that deep mystery of in the midst of pain and suffering. There's hope, there's redemption, there's love, there's our Lord, there's our Lady standing up and say, cling to me and cling to each other. So it's beautiful, another example, so many examples of that. We're going to hear more, in fact, Peter Finney, Michael Accaldo coming up here shortly to hear about other similar kind of efforts. But I thought it was just a beautiful example of our gospel, isn't it, in real life.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing. You know, we see this is the strength of the Gulf South folks, right? Everybody, you know, even if you have damage at your home, people are finding other folks that are worse off with damage and helping them. It's just amazing. It's like every day we see story after story after story, and it really renews your faith in humankind, right?
Yeah, and if anyone's listening would like to, between now and Friday, to donate dry goods, toiletries, toilet paper, things like that, linens, for example, canned goods, bring them down to St. Jane de Chantal in Abita Springs. Donation, certainly, and it's at P.O. Box 1870 in Abita Springs, 70420. And it will be used. It will definitely be used.
That's wonderful. What a beautiful ministry. Making lemonade out of lemons, right?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
that's a good way to put
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Johnny.
It's 7:15. We'll be back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 15th. Today, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows. Today, the Church honors the woman who knew suffering throughout her life, especially as she stood fearlessly at the cross while others fled. The principal biblical references to Mary's sorrows are in the Gospels of Luke and John. Mary first learned of the pain she would face when Simeon encountered her in the temple with her young son. Luke tells us that Simeon advised Mary that a sword would pierce her heart. Simeon's prediction came true with the flight into Egypt. Jesus' temporary separation from his family during their time in Jerusalem, Mary's poignant encounter with Jesus as he made his way to Calvary, the crucifixion itself, the taking of his body down from the cross, the burial of Jesus. John relates Jesus' last words to Mary and to his beloved disciple. Many early church writers interpreted the sword as Mary's sorrows, thus bringing together the passages of prediction and fulfillment. St. Ambrose in particular sees Mary as a sorrowful yet powerful figure at the foot of the cross. She looked on her son's wounds not with pity, but saw in them the salvation of the world. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. And I'm so excited to welcome over the phone Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. Today he's going to give us an inside peek of what you'll find in this week's issue. The Clarion Herald is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Gabby.
Peter, you with us? Hey, Peter. It's so good to have you with us today. And I want to start off with recovery efforts after Hurricane Ida. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, Gabby, the Archdiocese has always been a very quick responder, but Catholic Charities likes to term itself, we're here for the long term. We are long-term responders. And so really Catholic Charities' expertise is after the kind of the immediate recovery and initial rebuild. They are there for the long haul to help people navigate, and you know how this is with insurance and FEMA and all kind of forms that you have to fill out. People might need food assistance. They're there to kind of help navigate them through that process because it is going to be a long-term process. It's amazing what Second Harvest and Catholic Charities have done. Second Harvest, of course, is the food bank of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and they are so well prepared in these kind of emergencies. They take not only food that they have already stored up for emergency purposes, but they bring in food from other food banks across the country. And, of course, to help out Second Harvest, if anybody, what they say is that the best thing is really not to deliver food, but really to deliver donations, where they can go buy the food because they can turn that money into many, many more food for people. So really the initial 2 weeks, it was, communications is always difficult. But the one saving grace is that we did not have, like in Katrina, the massive flooding inside the city of New Orleans, which is a saucer. And, back then in 2005, the water sat for 10 days or 2 weeks, and, 200,000 homes were underwater. Here, it was extensive damage, but especially in Lafitte and LaPlace and Luring in the river parishes, some in Kenner, some in the North Shore, but really the Lafitte, LaPlace, and Luring areas in the Archdiocese of New Orleans really bore the brunt of the storm. So it's amazing to see parish groups formed from the North Shore. Annunciation in Bogalusa drove down an hour and a half down to Destrehan and delivered, 1,000 meals, hot meals. They cooked hot meals and gave them out to people, and they're there. And so just multiply that by many, many different parishes who are there to come in and help, and that's what's going on, right now.
That's amazing, and we have been seeing Archbishop Amon all over social media. He's everywhere, whether it's the West Bank, the North Shore, South Shore, or the river parishes. What does he have to say about all of this?
Yeah, he said, really, the damage is extensive, as everyone knows. And he's asking for everyone to do what they can to help their neighbor. And I thought it was interesting, Gabby, that on Sunday, August 29th, August 29th seems to be the date that, boy, will just live in infamy in the New Orleans area, is when Hurricane Ida, hit landfall in Louisiana. The Archbishop actually celebrated Mass at St. Louis Cathedral. The storm had not yet reached the city, but he was talking about that he instead of preaching on the day's readings, he went to the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus calmed the waters, and he said Jesus, who can calm the waters in the sea, is still walking with us, and he can calm the waters not only physically but of our hearts, and so he asked people to cling to that faith. And then for the next two Sundays, he also celebrated Mass, in the cathedral. Yeah. And he talked about how God will not abandon us. In the midst of our suffering, he's there. And also talk about embracing, not just carrying the cross, embracing the cause.
Yes. Peter, I do have a question, and this is actually not in the Clarion Herald, but how did the cathedral fare? I know that every time that I go over there, I always see the envelopes to help, maintain the cathedral because it's such a landmark in the city of New Orleans. How did it do during Hurricane Ida? Do you know that?
It actually fared fairly well. But the one thing that happened, they did have some steeple damage, which allowed water to come in through the steeple, but they think they can, get that repaired, very, very quickly. So I think, it's obviously an old building, but they did, we have a complete damage report in this issue, which is really, it's really, really good. And mostly it was the church spires that were damaged, some roof issues, fallen plates off the roof, things like that. So it'll take some time to get all that fixed up.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Well, we'll be keeping those churches and pastors in our prayers as well. We have been seeing the huge impact of Second Harvest Food Bank in the area and Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese. How are they continuing to make recovery efforts, and any updates on how that's going?
Sure. Well, right now what they're doing this week is they are really marshaling their Catholic Charities is marshaling the efforts, what they call case managers. These are people who fan out into the most affected areas and help people, again, who may not have insurance or do have insurance. How do you go through filing with your insurance company claims? How do you get FEMA assistance? How do you perhaps get food, emergency food stamps or emergency food? And so they really help in that area. And Second Harvest is just doing an amazing job. They not only, you know, they don't just do the food distribution themselves. They will send food to other distribution areas, and a lot of times it's at church properties, which have big parking lots, and people can, you know, okay, not only food, but supplies, cleanup supplies, and things like that. So that's how they are, you know, responding to this right now. So we still don't know the full extent of damage because the reports are still coming in, but we know that the Archbishop has said this. He knows that home in Thibodaux certainly was affected even more than the Archdiocese of Portland. So he's asked for prayers. He's in contact every day with Bishop Bob, and he knows how very difficult the damage was in home at Thibodaux.
Yes, and we've been getting updates from the Diocese of home at Thibodaux as well. I know that a lot of Catholic schools in the Archdiocese opened on Monday. How is that going so far?
Yes, about right now, Dr. Raynell Houston, who's the superintendent of Catholic schools, said about 75% of Catholic schools returned open on Monday, either on campus or maybe a mixture of on campus and virtual. So there's still about 25% of schools that are still making repairs. Obviously, you know, in the Destrehan area, Laplace, which was hit very hard, they need to do some more repairs, but those are going to be coming online, you know, as soon as they can. As best as possible, Catholic education has resumed this week. So we have, but the hope is next few days, more and more schools will be coming back.
Yes, definitely. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Peter, where can we read more stories and pick up a copy?
You can go to the electronic edition, which is up right now, and that's at clarionherald.org. Just click on electronic edition. And the very interesting thing is that we got a complete, at least up to now, a damage report. So you can look at what your parish maybe has faced. And also, this weekend in church, it will be at all masses this weekend and at local businesses in the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Wonderful. Peter Finney, thank you so much for joining us at clarionherald.org. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Gabby.
All right. Alicia, I know that the Catholic Charities in Baton Rouge is needing a few things as well.
They do. They do. And they were specifically looking for a box truck that has a lift on the tailgate for all these cases of water that they're moving to different places. So if you can help out, and you know, Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge, Catholic Charities of Acadiana, and Catholic Charities in Lake Charles are helping lots of areas. So if you're looking for a way to support people as they recover from Ida, look to Catholic Charities because they're doing amazing things. So you can check them out. Catholic Charities BR is the Baton Rouge Catholic Charity. So you can check them out and offer some assistance that way. But if you are, if you do have a box truck that you can give them or lend them, they would be most happy to receive that. And you can actually text the Executive Director, David Aguillard, at 225-892-1974. And that is Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge. If you do find yourself in need, you can call 800-560-0200. And that's Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge. That's Ida Relief. Even if you're not in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, they can certainly direct you to where you can get help. Again, that number, if you need help, is 800-560-0200. So,
hey, I also wanted to mention to everybody on the North Shore at Catholic Charities, the center there is at 4465 Highway 190 East. And Monday through Fridays from 10 to 1, they are taking, in Covington, they are taking donations and goods there as well. So North Shore, that's where the Catholic Charities is available for you.
Wonderful.
All right, wonderful. And you, I did post the okay. phone number, Alicia. Oh, I did. Wanted to say that you were talking about in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video.
Okay.
But I know that Opal is down. She's one of our listeners down in the feet. She says, thanks be to God for Second Harvest and all organizations offering help. Everywhere in my community, Archbishop Amen has been a blessing to all of us. And his presence in Lafitte was so welcome. So she said her church, St. Anthony, has taken on a lot of water, but recovery will take a long time. So we'll keep you in our prayers. Opal, but we have a very special guest, Michael Acaldo, joining us right after the break. It's 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Judicial Watch says 198 pages of newly obtained documents show the Obama administration paid over $500 each for certain abortion specimens. Not only do the particular specimens show that the abortions may have been illegal, but a judge ordered the release of unredacted information as the court found reason to question whether the transactions violate federal law banning the sale of fetal organs. Two prominent pro-life groups are being banned by Google. Live Action wants to show internet users their Baby Olivia movie showing gestational development. Also, both Live Action and Heartbeat International's abortion pill reversal efforts are being hidden, censored by the internet giant. This is Life News Radio.
A stunning new video has the power to transform discussions of human life in the womb. Created by Live Action, Baby Olivia, the video, takes viewers from the conception of a baby to her learning to speak, hear, even recognize persons outside the womb, all before she signals she is ready to greet the world. Find Baby Olivia at liveaction.org.
In other headlines, with two cases seeking to protect medical rights of conscience, a judge granted a temporary restraining order against New York and hospital mandates for healthcare worker vaccinations. Protesters and allegedly Christian groups are rapidly trying to find or prop up excuses for the current White House race to promote abortion. And another federal judge is blasting holes in what supports current abortion practice. Judge Amul Thapar says that even abortion advocate Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote before her death that the court used poor judicial reasoning in creating Roe. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 7:35. Thank you for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Johnny Abear, and we're happy that you're with us. We are joined this morning by a very busy man, Michael Acaldo. He's the CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He's going to give us his monthly update. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We are well. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well at St. Vincent de Paul. We were very blessed from the standpoint of damage. We like everyone, suffer from not having main power at our charitable campus, which did restrict our ability to respond in some ways, but we were able to do all the things that we normally do during a time of disaster, and that's respond, to look at areas in which we can fill in gaps, areas that we can work with other great groups like Catholic Charities and others in the community to figure out ways of serving people who truly need that helping hand up.
Wow, that's amazing. So you were able to keep your shelter open with no power?
Yes, we were able to. Part of our men's shelter on our campus does have an emergency generator because it's a newer facility, and our disaster shelter that we just opened last year has emergency generation, power generation, but some of our older facilities do not. Our families and women's and children's shelter do not, but we are, we've made a grant request to a wonderful foundation for funding to bring in emergency power to that facility permanently. And we were able to keep it open, though. And actually, even without power, y'all may know of Hotel Hope in New Orleans.
Yes.
Great program, providing services to homeless families. And they contacted us, and there were three families they had in their program that they could not find placement for, and we were able to take all three families. We were able to open up our disaster shelter and get well over a dozen people who are experiencing homelessness off the streets, because even though we were spared so much here locally, you know, it was no place to be outside during this past hurricane. So even though we had that difficulty, we made it through. And it really does make you feel, one, blessed when you do not have to deal with damages.
Yes.
And two, even though you don't have power, you feel blessed that you're able to respond and to help people, whether it's shelter, whether it's serving meals, or whether it's filling prescriptions, which we did for many who were displaced because of the hurricanes, or people that lost power. There were major pharmacy chains here locally that were closed.
Yes.
And we're continuing to do that. So if there's anybody out there in a listening audience that's having trouble filling their prescription, we can do so. Give our pharmacy a call at 225-383-7450. So we continue to do the things that St. Vincent de Paul does so well. And as I mentioned, working with Catholic Charities and working with Father Ryan Halliford. For instance, we just brought Saturday morning with Father Ryan a lot of clothes with St. Michael's Catholic School, a lot of different clothing items needed at the River Center shelter, and distributed them Saturday to those who truly need that helping hand up. So filling those gaps is what St. Vincent de Paul does so very well.
That's amazing. So all of your shelters are at capacity right now, Michael?
Yes. I think we do have a room at our family shelter, but yeah, we've been staying full. However, if someone is in need of shelter or services, we're there to serve. Typically, when like the River Center is in the process of now closing, and so when those kinds of circumstances happen and disaster shelters start to, what they've termed, depopulate, what they do is they try to find a destination for everyone. Well, someone was homeless before the hurricane hit, and that means that they have to find a destination, like an emergency shelter, like one of ours at St. Vincent de Paul, or some other appropriate destination. So we're working hard to provide those destinations for people who were formerly homeless, as well as those who may have lost everything. And if we can assist with that, we certainly will assist. And y'all have been doing a great job getting out all the FEMA information for the FEMA TSA hotel program for those who were displaced because damage to their homes and they can't go back. And so that's a great resource for those that had a home. And of course, our St. Vincent de Paul conferences throughout the diocese are doing what they can to reach out to people who've been devastated by the storms.
Wow. You know, it's amazing to me, Michael, because I know that, you know, your volunteers who help with the meals and help with the shelters, chances are they had some storm damage or were without power, but still showing up to be the hands and feet of Christ to those in our community who need it. What a blessing having St. Vincent de Paul here.
What a blessing for those volunteers. There's no doubt. Whether they're making home visits in the conferences or they're visiting our shelter where we have people experiencing homelessness. I mean, wow. And you're right. Some of our families that prepare that home-cooked meal did not have power.
Oh, wow.
But they still were able to figure out a way to bring a meal to the shelter for our guests. that's uplifting, that's hopeful, mm-hmm. That's providing all that hope that Christ give all of us. And that's why it's so important that we all come together and work together and do what we can, collaborating with one another in such a way that we can bring the gospel to life. And you're right. So how do you do that? How do you? People just did a variety of things. Some found a restaurant to buy the meal. Some figured out another way to do it. Some found another home that had power to cook the meal. It's just, it was, some used barbecue pits, you know, to do the meal. You know, just amazing to see people doing so much for people who are truly in need.
Wow, that's wonderful. Tell us what urgent needs do you have with the influx of guests? Are there some urgent needs that you have at St. Vincent de Paul?
Well, as always, some of our urgent needs, certainly people were looking to donate items. You know, we can always use underwear for our shelter guests, new underwear that would be for men, women, and children. Always can never get enough of that. I think that's an area that we can always use a lot of. And we got a lot of requests for towels. And towels are something that we use, and it's something that you never can have enough, just bath towels and that type of thing to help in this time of need. Other things that are very helpful is rain gear, because a lot of the people that came to us didn't have anything in addition to clothing items. And so those are the things that really help us, in addition to, you know, financial support that enables us to continue to do all the wonderful things that we're doing to reach as many people as we possibly can. Because after response comes recovery, and helping people to recover in the Houma Thibodeau area and all New Orleans and all the areas that were so devastated is going to take time, and it's going to take resources, and that's what St. Vincent de Paul is here to do, is wonderful. To help people who truly need that helping hand up.
Thank you. Michael Acaldo, CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. Check them out at svdpbr.org. They could certainly use your assistance. They're doing wonderful things in our community. It is 7:45. You're listening to Wake Up.
And good morning. It is 7:48 on September the 15th, and this is the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. And Johnny, good to be with you, with Gabby, Alicia, Jeff, Dave, the whole gang. As we have been doing the last few weeks here, all things Catholic regarding Storm, both the good, the bad, and then the wonderful response by all of you, the family. And I'm going to follow up with that. Actually, we're really happy to have with us this morning Father Doug Bush, who's the pastor at Our Lady of the Lake in Mandeville. Good morning, Father.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, well, that's our question for you. You know, as your name implies, you are right there on the lake. And so whatever blows across there, you guys have to deal with, especially the surge there. So Father, give us a how did you guys fare? How are you doing right now?
Well, I mean, we took a good brunt. I mean, the winds were about 110 miles an hour that reached us here, you know, coming right off the lake. You know, we got it full force. And so we're three blocks off of the lake. So we did get a surge, knocked out, of course, all the electricity, just like it did there in New Orleans. You know, it hit about 11 o'clock midnight, full force. It had a little lull, and I went out and, now I've got a generator, thank you, a home generator. And so I had lights. I was able to go out and into my onto my porch at one point and see nothing but water.
Oh my God.
Wow. And my first thought was, okay, the church is going to be flooded, because it did flood in Katrina. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first concern. And so it wasn't until the next morning, that morning, of course, about 7 o'clock, I was able to get out and then go check things out. And the water actually had receded pretty quickly. All go down, but it didn't make it, the floodwaters didn't make it in the church, but certainly the rainwater that had been forced through the doors got in. And then we had flooding in the preschool. We had a lot of damage in the preschool and our middle school, and with trees going through roofs and things like that. But, all in all, it could have been more catastrophic. So thanks be to God, it wasn't.
Yeah. So what are your immediate needs? I assume you probably, like many, did mass in the dark. What are you looking at? What are your needs at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, let me address that mass in the dark. That day, Monday, all right, we held mass, and we opened up, we mopped up all the water in the church that needed to be mopped up, got everything dried out, opened the doors, let circulation through. Of course, we had no lights. And we've got a set of camping lights, so we're used to this. So we put those camping lights on the altar, lit the candles, and held mass that evening. We have mass at 5:15. We had confessions regularly at 4:30 in the afternoon. 5:15 we have mass, and we did that all the way through Friday when we were able then to get electricity. So. People were appreciative of that, absolutely. To try to bring back some stability very quickly, in the parish. As far as needs are concerned, we jumped on this right away. I mean, we had people come in to take a look at a company that we worked with Katrina, a U.S. restoration company, immediately came in and we took a look at our flooded preschools, which did flood and had a lot of water in it. And so we just started tanking stuff out immediately that was wet so we could get humidifiers and blowers and everything in there, start mopping up real fast. And getting that done. We also had a tree through one of our school roofs, so we immediately got the tree guys going and moving to get that cut up so we could put a tarp at least over the roof immediately. I mean, so down trees.
Wow.
I mean, much like you experienced there on the South Shore. So,
Is the school up and running then?
The school is up and running. It opened on Monday, just like every other normal school. We were able to get the roof repaired, all the sheetrock and all the baseboards removed and replaced, and the health department come in and take a look. The fire the fire
That's amazing.
I mean, it's almost like we've done this before, huh?
Yes, that's so quick. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I know in all these events, there's typically something that in many inspirational stories, anything quickly, Father, jumps to mind that just exemplifies to you, I guess, what Our Lady of Sorrows is all about in light of the resurrection,
Yeah, I mean, we do have a particular story, and that was a Vietnam veteran that we would have known nothing about unless this storm actually took place. And he was then had to be displaced from an apartment room complex that he had, and he had become a very introverted individual. Started hoarding stuff. Got a tree through his apartment. He got injured. He was then displaced, and then we jumped on with the Veterans Affairs Office to find him. Then, I mean, it's a big, long story. I mean, he went to the hospital.
Wow.
We got him sick. Anyway, but the thing is that we wouldn't have known anything about this guy and the help that he needed unless there was a storm that actually forced him into our presence, made him visible.
Right.
And so he's now being taken care of in La Place, of course, and that has all its needs. But the veterans home there, you know, took them in, and that place is still up and running. So they're taking care of it.
That's great, Father.
But a lot of people, pulling together.
Yeah, amen. And Father, before we go, we wonder if we could have a blessing and then any contact information that for anything you need.
Sure, absolutely. Well, of course, you mentioned the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows is celebrated today. Mother Mary, teach us to live together with her beside the cross of her Son. In her suffering, she reminds us of the malice of sin and shows us the way to true repentance. We ask our Blessed Mother, through her Son, Jesus Christ, to be the source of grace that heals us and brings us ever closer to her Son. All this we ask in your holy name, O Lord. Amen. And Our Lady of the Lake, pray for us.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Father Doug Bush, pastor at Our Lady of the Lake in Mandeville. Anything you can do to help, especially prayers, send it his
way.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful day, and stay dry out there.
Thank you. You too. Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Gabby, just everywhere you look, yes, damage effects, but yet the church rises.
Absolutely. And it's just incredible. You know, I know that a lot of places in the river parishes and home of Thibodaux are still struggling with power and stuff like that, but to hear the stories of people just coming out and helping, it's just so good to hear.
Beautiful.
I love hearing that.
Amen.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, well, Johnny, would you mind closing us out?
You bet. Let's call on St. Joseph, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. To you, O blessed Joseph, do we come in our afflictions. And having implored the help of your most holy spouse, we confidently invoke your patronage also. As you once rescued the child Jesus from deadly peril, so now protect God's holy church from the snares of the enemy and from all adversity. Shield us by your constant protection, that we be able to live piously, to die in holiness, and to obtain eternal happiness in heaven with you. Amen.
Amen.
St. Joseph,
pray for us and protect us.
Pray for us. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.